Some of the podcasts talk about climate change or poverty. Others seize on the pandemic, on sports, on homework. Some focus on hope. What more than 2,000 entries have in common, aside from being great listens, is that students created them. A contest from NPR challenged middle and high schoolers to create an award-winning podcast, and they delivered. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. And we're talking about and with the kids who entered this year's contest. And we want to hear from you. What do you want to know about putting together a podcast? We're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest this morning is Steve Drummond. He's executive producer of NPR Ed, which runs the NPR Student Podcast Challenge. Steve, welcome to the Ideas Network here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hi, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. The judges this year chose two winners among more than 2,200 entries. What were you looking for in the best podcasts?
So quite a lot, it turns out. We don't like to really focus on the technical issues, you know, the quality of the recordings and everything. A lot of what we look for is the energy and the passion in students' voices. And we heard a lot of that across the board this year, not just in our winners, but in the 25 finalists and the more than 200 honorable mentions we got from around the country. We heard students in their own voices talking about things that are really important to them, or talking about things that make them laugh, or their favorite books and literature, all kind of, it was a really wonderful and diverse array of voices that we heard.
One of the winners was produced by a group of New York sixth graders. They examined how Asian students suffered during the early days of this coronavirus pandemic, and they also taught listeners how to say a few phrases in Mandarin. Let's listen to a little.
One way to prevent the spread of this virus is to wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds.
Another thing you can do is not touch your face. The Mandarin word for face is fulian. Fulian. And remember to cover your mouth and nose when you cough and sneeze into your elbow. The Mandarin word for sneeze is da pen ti. Da pen ti.
Why did this podcast impress the judges, Steve?
Yeah. So a couple of things. Several of the judges said the students were so charming, and that the judges, and myself included, listening, found themselves sort of speaking aloud along as these young sixth graders taught us, some keywords in Mandarin. But more importantly, these were students at PS 126 in the Manhattan Academy of Technology in New York City, and basically they set out to do some journalism. They interviewed high schoolers in their neighborhood about the harassment they were feeling as the coronavirus hit New York City. And they did so and taking on some pretty serious stuff, but they also taught us these Mandarin words, and they had fun with it. One of the sayings that they taught in Mandarin, which of course I will not try and say in Mandarin, is sickness comes in like a landslide, but goes out as slow as spinning silk. And the judges found the energy and passion of these students and the fact that they were taking on some important topics really, really compelling.
Content and also just getting us the experience. I mean, we heard the water when talking about washing hands. I mean, the production value here, impressive.
The podcasts were a lot better this year. We found that last year, and we got great podcasts in the first year, but a lot of the students, they would record their podcast in a noisy lunchroom, or you could hear all kinds of background noise, or the students were, to use a term in our business, off mic. This year, boy, we found the students really up their game in terms of the quality of the podcast, and we heard that all across the country.
Wow. We're talking about the NPR Student Podcast Challenge with Steve Drummond, executive producer of NPR Ed, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Maybe you entered this podcast challenge this year or last year, or maybe you're making a podcast on your own. What's it about? What are you thinking about when you put it together? Share your story with us at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Steve, how common was the pandemic or the shutdown as a theme in this year's entries as they came in?
Quite common. One of the things happened was we started the podcast contest in January, and we opened it up to students, and we were anticipating you know, a great year. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of all this, school all over the country shut down. And we thought maybe the whole contest would go out the window. But actually, the opposite happened. We kept hearing from students and teachers saying, please extend the deadline. Now that my students are at home, this is a thing that they can work on it at home. It's a great project-based learning. And so we actually got a whole lot of podcasts coming in the very last week while school was shut down for 50 million kids. We got 800 podcasts in that last week. And many, many of them dealt with the pandemic. There were some students in San Francisco who set out to talk to who went to Chinatown and talked to Chinese restaurant owners in a community. And this was weeks before this story kind of got out nationally, saying, boy, they were really getting a lot of harassment and sometimes outright racism because of the pandemic. There's another charming podcast that was a finalist where one student in, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think Iowa. He did a great podcast just analyzing how much time he was spending on his phone. And he interviewed his friends about how much time, now that they were at home, they were spending on their phones and wasting a lot of time in their phone. His podcast was titled Instagram is like a cocaine-laced brownie. And basically, he kind of was poking fun at the fact that students were just scrolling through their phones all day. So this was kind of the range of podcasts we got about the coronavirus.
Well, if you want a headline to click on, I think that's one of them.
Exactly.
There's some real creativity.
That might have got in. Exactly.
This year's other winner that was chosen also came from New York. A group of high school seniors looked at activism against climate change. Let's listen to an excerpt from their discussion now.
They need to cut back on their emissions so like they can save the earth. Because it's going to hurt their pocket for a little bit. But in the long run, they still going to be rich.
Pick up your trash.
Do what Greta did.
Strike. Don't show up to school.
Stand up for yourself. Stand up for what you believe in.
Black, stand up for the earth that you feel me we're gonna need.
Wow, there's real power there in what they're saying. Steve, what was it about this podcast that made the judges so compelled?
Very much so. And if you're hearing a thread, that's what it is really when the students used the energy and the passion and brought it to their work. These were students who live in the Canarsie neighborhood of Brooklyn. And they were looking around at their neighborhood and then seeing the differences in their neighborhood and where other people live. And they went to a climate march in Manhattan, I believe it was in September. And they started looking around and saying, hey, we don't see a lot of black protesters around here. And that's how they got the idea. And they interviewed some of their classmates and students and people in their neighborhood and saying they cited a lot of research discussing their own observations about how global warming disproportionately affects black communities. So, this is another podcast where you have passionate young people taking on very serious issues and doing it. You can hear it's not the way it would sound on NPR or Wisconsin Public Radio. You can hear the difference when it comes from the students and it's bubbling up in their own voices. And this was a really powerful podcast.
Yeah, it's raw in a way that is just really striking.
Yeah, very much so. And sometimes they're passionate and it doesn't have this sort of calm, measured voice that sometimes we do in public radio, but we all found that refreshing and compelling.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Steve.
Me neither. Good point.
Steve Drummond is executive producer of NPR Ed, and we're talking about a podcast contest for middle and high school students that drew 2,200 entries from around the country, taking on some fun topics, also some really serious topics that are weighing on kids today. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you enjoy about podcasts, if you have a favorite one, if you've ever listened to one produced specifically by young people. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and our conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about a student podcast challenge that showcases some sophisticated work from teenagers. This year's 25 finalists included an entry from students at Pathways High School in Milwaukee. Their podcast examined the offensive use of Native American icons in sports. Here's a listen.
As a community, we have, for the most part,
exiled racist caricatures from other groups. Things like blackface or yellowface are deemed racist and offensive. Yet we still have a National Football League team literally called the Redskins.
Thousands of middle and high school students tackled topics important to them in this challenge. And we're talking about the value in that. You're part of this conversation. What do you want to know about these podcasts, what students covered or how they put them together? We're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. NPR Ed executive producer Steve Drummond is our guest. Steve, what is the goal of NPR's Student Podcast Challenge?
So we have several goals, and many of them align with what's going on in the country right now. Part of the impetus for creating the podcast challenge this year was after the terrible mass shootings in Parkland, Florida. There was a lot of discussion about how passionate and involved the students became, and that created a nationwide discussion about the need for us to hear the voices of young people speaking in their own words. And that was one of the things for us on the NPR Ed team, too. We're always kind of trying to put our money where our mouths are. We do a lot of reporting on project-based learning and getting students to work together in a group. And so here was an opportunity for us to kind of promote that. These podcasts, and an average about 5 students per podcast, come together where one student is the host, one is the editor, one goes out in the field and does the reporting, and they all put it together in a group. So we're kind of promoting our educational goals. And then finally, just in a kind of a more selfish way, we got a lot of great content that we can put on All Things Considered or Morning Edition, or Here I Am Talking to You About This, of hearing really great sound and narrative storytelling from kids around the country. And finally, we're always looking at NPR to, you know, move away from the coast to make sure that we're not sort of focusing too much on Washington or the economy or whatever. And this year, we got podcasts, student podcasts from 46 states and the District of Columbia, all over the country. Students talking about all kinds of different things. We, as you mentioned, the finalists from Wisconsin. We also had a couple of honorable mentions from Wisconsin, and in a lot of ways, from Shorewood, Wisconsin, and Verona, Wisconsin. But in a lot of ways, too, it wasn't. I mean, of course, it's about winning and being recognized. But boy, these students had a lot of fun, and we heard from teachers all over the country saying, "Gee, this was the most engaging lesson I've done in a long time," or whatever. That it really got students involved. And involved in a whole something that maybe they had never even heard of a podcast before. And here they are making one now.
Yeah, and people will want to stick around because we're talking with 2 student finalists from Verona and their teacher in just a few minutes here on the morning show. So we'll be able to hear directly from them in just a bit. One pattern in this year's finalists, though, local investigations, students digging into issues in their own communities. What do you take away from that trend? That's really serious stuff.
And quite proud of these student journalists who took on something really, really complicated in their town. I'll give you one example, which was a group of students from Stillwell, Oklahoma, small town. It's famously was sort of the end point on the Trail of Tears in the 1800s. And the students were very angry about a story in The Washington Post that's called their town the early death capital of the United States or something like that, where it said people tended to die in an early age. And the students were very angry. And they started exploring this, and they went and interviewed their mayor and their police chief and the superintendent of schools. And they did a really passionate podcast talking about, one, maybe that was just a one-sided view of their town, but also exploring some of the real issues of poverty and the racism that Cherokee people had faced there that were, you know, that contributed to some of these social problems. So anyway, and all over the country, we heard podcasts like that of students going out into the community, interviewing people, digging up the facts, and presenting some really compelling journalistic work.
And it's not just about the skill to do that, but also the confidence to take on, I mean, something as major as the Washington Post and saying, you know, you wrote this about us and you're wrong.
Very much so. And we found that, you know, in these kids, you can hear kind of the anger in their voice. And then they actually did something that we in journalism could do more, was tried to turn it to the positive. They ended their podcast by saying, hey, who are the people in our community trying to fix this? And they interviewed a couple of young entrepreneurs in their own high school who are starting up businesses or trying to, you know, sort of make a difference in their community. And I found that really inspiring, too.
We're talking about the NPR Student Podcast Challenge with Steve Drummond, executive producer of NPR Ed. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about putting together a podcast? Give us a call or email ideas at WPR.org. We mentioned Native American mascots. We've mentioned protests and racism a bit. You, Steve, also run NPR's Code Switch team that covers race and identity, produces a weekly podcast of its own. How often do you walk away from the Student Podcast Challenge with some new ideas maybe for Code Switch? Oh,
very much so. We students are tuning into things that we sometimes haven't gotten on our radar yet. You know, the way social media is used and the way young people are using it differently than we do. Last year, in fact, we had so many really compelling podcasts that dealt with race and identity. We had a really good podcast from Illinois, a student who is transgender and talking about that experience. We had a student who was hearing impaired who did a really good podcast about what it's like to be part of that community. And we put them all together and we made a whole episode of Code Switch about young people talking about their identities. And my colleague Sequoia Carrillo and I, who worked on the podcast challenge, we're writing an episode right now for the coming weeks about Code Switch. That will be on Code Switch. That'll just sort of pull all these various strings together, including these students from New York City talking about environmental racism.
People who don't work with students every day might think about them differently. When we lump all of the kids in K-12 education together, sometimes we think about them being little or sheltered or, you know, not understanding. But these middle and high school students in particular showcase that that is just simply not the case when it comes to the understanding, the awareness and the maturity of today's young people.
Boy, you're absolutely right. You forget. There was a student in Cicero, Illinois, who did a really emotional podcast about her brother being in a gang and what that was like. And it wasn't, it was a very measured and mature approach to dealing with something that we struggle to, that's the kind of story we really struggle to tell in our own reporting. So hearing these kids who have an infinite variety of backgrounds and really putting it into their writing and putting it into their voicing, it was really something.
Telling their own stories, not other people telling theirs.
Exactly. And they talk differently. Many times you hear the students interviewing their teacher. And I was saying to one of my colleagues, if you or me interviewed that teacher, we would get a certain response. But when the students become journalists, you get a very different response and you can hear it. And it really does make these podcasts really stand out, that the fact that they're being produced and in the language that young people use that sometimes is different than the ones we use.
And elicits different responses. That's fascinating. Next year, NPR is expanding this podcast challenge to include entries from college students. Why are you making that move?
So we've had a lot of requests from colleges around the country say, hey, please open this up to colleges. Initially, last year, we set out to look at fifth grade through eighth grade. We have two categories, fifth grade, five.
All right. It sounds like we may have cut out.
Let's see what happens. And I assume.
Oh, Steve, you cut out for just a minute.
So
were talking about you started out with a focus on fifth through eighth grade.
Yeah. And then we have two categories, grades 5 through 8, 9 through 12. And we've had a lot of requests to expand it to college from professors and students. So we expect we will get very different voices and a very different range of podcasts. So we're going to try it out and see what happens.
And so what do you hope to then get out of those college students? Do you expect similar things? Do you think they'll go for the fun stuff, too? Or will we be seeing more serious things from college students? Any ideas?
I think given that we'll be doing this in an election year, given that we'll be doing this in a climate of economic recession, a climate of student protests about racism and harassment, I think we're going to get a lot of very passionate responses. But again, college kids run the full gamut. We will be hearing from students talking about music and their love of sports. We get a lot of podcasts about video gaming and esports. So I'm hoping that we will get podcasts from across the spectrum. And once again, hoping that we'll get that kind of diversity that we've heard in the middle school and the high school students.
Yeah. And when you're entering the contest and thinking about what to choose, is it necessarily an investigative piece that will win, or is it really about the product in the end?
No, it's really, really about the product. We heard a charming finalist of a student who set out with the question, what is the most beautiful sound? What sound? And went out and interviewed people. And this one adult said, oh, a crying baby is the most beautiful sound. And someone else said, oh, the sound of rain in a summer day. It's almost like poetry. And it was a lovely podcast. And we really, all of us found that podcast just almost ready to put on the radio. It was so good. And the funny ones. Kids are charming and funny. Anybody who works with students knows this. And every now and then there are podcasts that just make you laugh out loud. Last year, a middle school student did a piece about his love of tater tots and interviewed the students about why they do or don't like tater tots. And he called up the Orida company, which makes tater tots, yeah, and got a company official. Anyway, it was very funny.
How amazing. Steve Drummond, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Steve is executive producer of NPR Ed, which runs the NPR Student Podcast Challenge. Next up, we're hearing from some honorable mentions in that challenge right here on The Morning Show. Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending this hour of the morning show on a student podcast challenge from NPR. And we have two students from right here in Wisconsin with us now. They produced the podcast called Social Issues of VAHS. It received an honorable mention in this year's NPR Student Podcast Challenge. Lydia Benz and Morgan Gavinsky are students at Verona Area High School, and they wrapped up their junior years, will be seniors this fall. Lydia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and Morgan, good to have you here too.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we also have their English teacher, Laura Yidey Brown, on the line. Laura, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Hello, thanks for having us. This is so fun.
Laura, let's start here then. Why did you want your students to create podcasts?
Well, I think Lydia and Morgan can speak to my passion for podcasts. I spend a lot of time connecting things that we learn to things that I've listened to, or, hey, I just listened to this on the way to work this morning. Isn't this wild? And so I would bring up podcasts a lot throughout the school year. And so this was a nice thing to use with our argument unit. So when we started talking about writing arguments in essays, this was an assignment that was supplementary for them to do. And so we talked a lot about how to construct an argument and then chose this different medium for presenting their information instead of just writing another essay about it.
Okay, so you talked about writing in, or how to figure out the argument, and then you knew how you were going to present it. Lydia, your podcast focuses on student parking at Verona High. How did you decide on the topic?
Well, mostly it was a very hot topic at Verona at the time. You couldn't go in a class without someone being mad or complaining about it, and no one knew the real reason why it was a problem. So Morgan and I were very curious to get to the bottom of it and see, oh, why are there not enough spots in the lot? Why do people keep parking in the lot? What can we do to fix this? Because a lot of people were mad, and we just wanted to know the truth.
What were they mad about?
They were mad about a lot of different things. There were some juniors that couldn't get a parking pass at all, like Morgan. So they had to park on the street, regardless of if they got there very early. And there were also some juniors that, even if they didn't get a parking pass, just started parking in the lot, which made the sophomores who couldn't have access to a parking pass park in the lot, which that made all the people who had a pass, mainly juniors and seniors, and paid $50 for this parking pass where you're supposed to have a great spot, not even able to park in the lot in some situations, especially on cold winter days when no one wants to walk really far from the street.
Right. It is Wisconsin, after all. Let's listen to one of the students you interviewed about Verona High's parking passes. Here it is.
Think that the system they have right now is good, but I do think that they should ticket every day, because ticketing like once every couple of weeks or until someone complains isn't effective enough, as the people without the passes would know that they would get a ticket if they were in the lot. So it would make things a lot easier if they just ticketed every day.
Morgan, why did you want to learn more about the actual rules to the school's parking situation?
Well, actually, it was really interesting because we wanted to talk to the police at Verona, and he actually told us that
his number one complaint in the 2 weeks that he was there was that he didn't ticket enough. So students would come into class and they would just call the police or to get their parent to call the police and complain about how he's not ticketing enough. And he said it's probably the most boring job he could possibly have to ticket everyone. But it also was one of the most important at Verona because it did create such a pain for everyone.
To admit that that is boring, you got some real honesty from law enforcement there, Morgan.
Yeah.
Laura, how did you then help students focus their topics and begin to construct this piece of audio?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny you asked that because I know Mr. Drummond said this in the last bit, but some students had never listened to a podcast before, and then some students were so well-versed and had been for months coming in and talking to me and saying, did you hear the latest episode of this and that? And we would have conversations about that. So some students knew exactly what they wanted to do and how they wanted it to sound, but many students had no idea. And so the first thing that we did to introduce the unit was I had students pick topics that they felt passionately about and just find podcasts about it. So I gave, well, and I gave them a lot of different examples of some pretty classics like 99% Invisible, This American Life, the classic episodes of these, and had them just listen to it. And then they did a debrief where they talked about, well, why is this effective? And why is this an effective way to tell a story? Or why is this an effective way to have information unfold for the listener? And how is this different than anything else that you might listen to? How is this different than a book, or how is this different than reading an essay? And so when we first just looked at the medium and how a podcast is different, we then moved into the topic. And students, very few students had trouble coming up with a topic because students feel so passionately about many things and are interested in finding out more information about things. So I know Mr. Drummond talked about how social media is a big topic. We had an awesome podcast submission from my class about how social media is currently influencing teenagers with misinformation. And so they went around and talked to students and interviewed students about things that they were hearing on social media about the coronavirus and talked. And like, there were quotes of people saying, oh, I hear that if you drink hand sanitizer, you don't get it. And, oh, I heard that it came from someone had a bat bite or that someone ate a snake. And so there are all of these things that students are hearing, and they say, well, I heard it on Snapchat or whatever it is. And that was just really – that was a really powerful one. One student chose to interview her mom, who was part of the Tokyo subway sarin attacks, which was a domestic terrorist incident that happened in Tokyo. And so she talked about the history of it, what happened, and then interviewed her mom. It was such a wide variety of submissions from my class, and it was so awesome. One student interviewed one of the counselors about the college application process, and she said the counselor said when she was done and done editing to send it to her because it's something that they could use as a resource on the school website. So all different sorts of things that students cared about and wanted to learn more about, and then were able to put that into their podcast.
That's English teacher Laura Yaidi Brown. We are talking about the NPR Student Podcast Challenge and an honorable mention entry from Wisconsin. Lydia Benz and Morgan Gavinsky are from Verona Area High School, and they created that podcast that got that honorable mention. And let's talk more about that, going back to the parking pass system at Verona. Lydia, you and Morgan did interviews to better understand how it worked. How did it feel asking those questions and doing that journalism?
It was actually a really interesting process. We got to talk to a lot of people that normally students don't talk to on a daily basis, or if they do, it's maybe a couple words of conversation asking them to print something out. But we got to talk to people in the office staff about how they actually run the system and the ideas behind it. And we also got to talk to our new police officer, who no one had really met him because he'd only been there for a week or two. And he was really nice and really helpful with giving us a lot of information and just numbers to back up everything we were saying. Like, he told us that they received over $1,000 in tickets in the last week from what he was ticketing the lot. And that's when we realized it was really ridiculous, the number of people parking in the lot and how out of hand it was.
And
but
you
we
didn't
also talk to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. We also talked to a lot of our friends and peers and students about what their opinions were. So it was interesting to hear from a wide variety of sources about how everyone felt.
That's actually what I wanted to ask about, because not only did you talk to people who are directly involved, but you also branched out and found out how other schools handle parking passes. Let's listen to part of your interview with the school official at Oregon High.
Any student in the Oregon School District is offered a parking permit. It is not limited. There is not a limited amount of parking stalls for our students, so however many number of students can apply for permits.
Morgan, how does Oregon High handle ticketing, and how did it inform the work you're doing?
Well, Oregon High kind of does it different because they have a lot more space, but basically all of them kind of get the opportunity to have a pass, which is a lot different than Verona. But they also can have, like, a daily pass, where Verona, we can't have that. We only have, like, the $50 all-year-round pass. So that was really interesting to compare the differences, and maybe we could use those in the future.
So you helped people understand that the way that your school does it isn't the only way.
Yes, exactly.
Laura, you're teaching these students. Were all students required to conduct these sorts of interviews and broadly and locally?
No, not interviewing necessarily. We had students choose to do a lot of different formats. And we talked about, you know, what are the strengths of doing an interview, and how does bringing in and incorporating a different person's voice enhance your argument? How do adding numbers, like Lydia and Morgan said, how do adding numbers increase your credibility? And so students could sort of choose a different method or a different sound depending on what they wanted to accomplish with their podcast. So, Mr. Drummond talked to you about the funny ones or the silly ones. One of the really funny concepts were four students sat around and ate variety of candies and then rated them and ranked them and created a tournament, if you will, of what, and then to try to figure out what is the best candy and what are, and so the students just had a really silly time, but the words that they were using, how they were describing it, and how they were engaging with each other was such a funny sound.
Yeah.
That it made for a really great listen.
That is something I could get on board with. We're talking about the NPR Student Podcast Challenge and an honorable mention from Wisconsin. You just heard from English teacher Laura Yidey Brown, and we're also hearing from soon-to-be high school seniors Morgan Gavinsky and Lydia Benz. We're taking your calls. If you have questions about the process, about how it worked in the classroom, 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Despite changes at school and the stresses of being a teenager during a pandemic, thousands of kids across the U.S. entered a contest. Their goal was to create compelling shows that told important stories, rich in sound quality, with exceptional audio editing, and they accomplished that. We're celebrating that achievement here on The Morning Show. We're taking your calls if you have questions for our guests who actually created one of the podcasts that got an honorable mention out of 2,200 entries. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let us know what you want to know about putting together the podcast and about what you like about podcasts in general. 800-642-1234. We are talking with English teacher Laura Yidey Brown, who is with us for this discussion, and our two Wisconsin students who received that honor, Lydia Benz and Morgan Gavinsky, just finished up their junior year at Verona Area High School. And Lydia, quite a feat when you find out that there are more than 2,000 podcast entries to be one of the honorable mentions. What strikes you about that? What do you want to say about climbing to that level?
Honestly, we were just amazed. We got an email from Miss Yeidy. We didn't even know they were doing the judging at this point. We had no clue what was going to happen with this competition because of the everything going on in the world at the time. So when we got the email, Morgan ended up texting me, and we were just in shock. We had no idea what this meant, and we were just really, really excited.
Morgan, how did you feel about the announcement? What did you text about?
I texted Lydia, like, right away, because we totally forgot that we had entered into the contest. So when we saw the email from Miss Yeidy, I was texted Lydia, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, we made it to honorable mention. Like, that's crazy. I never would have expected that.
And Laura Yeidy Brown, I wonder what it was like for you to be able to put together that email to these students who had kind of put the contest in the back of their minds and then achieved so much here.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty joyful thing because this year was so truncated. This year felt so strange. And to be a student at this time, you know, the week before school closure, I was talking to students, like, make sure you're bringing home your iPad, make sure you're bringing home your, make sure you're bringing home all your stuff. You don't know if school's going to be closed. We don't really know what the future holds right now. And so we were preparing students at the end of the school year, or what ended up becoming the end of seeing each other, for leaving and for being prepared for what the future might be. We weren't doing, like, proper, I don't know if I'm going to see you again. Mm-hmm. It was so strange to just leave on that note and not be able to see students at the end of the year. So to be able to have this wonderfully joyful email to send and to be excited for something that the students created was just such a fantastic thing to end the year on. I also sent it out to the entire staff, and to have that celebration and to have something to be joyful about was great.
Wonderful to have a bright spot with so much challenge ahead of them. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I think, too, that these two students can really be, you know, take this and maybe think about how this might inform their future plans. Not maybe necessarily creating podcasts, but to inspire their own classmates to seek out different opportunities like this, to try new things, because it was crazy successful for them.
English teacher Laura Yeidy Brown encouraged her students to enter the NPR Student Podcast Challenge, and two students with us actually got an honorable mention entry here. Lydia Benz and Morgan Gavinsky are going to be seniors in the fall at Verona Area High School. And certainly your teacher just said, you know, expressing arguments, getting out messages, not necessarily in podcast form. But I really do have to ask, Lydia, you going to make more podcasts?
I have no clue. Miss Yeidy, on the first day of school, she loves to tell this story, said that the first time I started talking that I had a podcast voice. So all year I was kind of thinking about it. And I do love talking and finding new stories and stuff. But I'd love to do something with arguments and maybe media in my future, but I really have no clue what the future holds. This definitely made me consider it more, though.
You're in good company here, Lydia. Morgan, what about you? An interest in podcasts still? Will you create another one? Do you think they affect people?
Once Yeidy talked to me about podcasts, I kind of went through podcasts and I've gotten more interested in them over their last couple months, especially now. But I never really thought about doing another one because I don't know, I guess it was like a hot topic then. So it's really interesting to do it with Lydia and kind of like do it as a project. So maybe like with others to kind of collaborate again would be fun.
Yeah, that's pretty brave because I think anybody who's been in middle or high school knows that group work can be challenging, and you're saying you might take it on sometime.
Yeah.
And Laura, will you have students create more podcasts and enter them into the NPR Challenge next year?
Absolutely. So I did this for the first year as well. I did it last year. I had students create them last year. And the product and amount of dedication and just the overall podcast that students submitted for this year was way better. It was just significantly better outcome this year. I think that was partially just because I knew what hiccups were going to happen, and so I could kind of guide students to have a better sound, and to I knew what stumbling blocks that they were going to have. So one of them was just sound quality and how to put the podcast together. So there are all sorts of apps that students may or may not be familiar with, and so there were things that I could kind of guide them to, especially if they had never really worked with stitching together audio pieces. Also, I think one of the things that made that this year's challenge go a lot better was that students knew, I gave students a lot more front loading with how the different ways that they could put it together. And so students kind of had a lot more feeling of freedom to do whatever they wanted and to have it sound however they wanted. One of the things that Lydia and Morgan did really well was they recorded little sound effects of like their car starting or their, you know, the beeping horns or something like that. And that was something that I could kind of tell students that if you want to add these little fillers, they work really well with transitions. And I played for them one of the student podcasts from the previous year, which was students did research about the bathroom pass policy. And so they had, you know, little sounds of toilets flushing or water pouring. And those sounds really made great transitions between their topics. And so those things were really amplified in the second year of the podcast, and I was able to help students create maybe a better sounding product, and that was definitely beneficial. So that all goes to say that even now, after doing it the second year, I have way more insight into how this could be a better product, and I really look forward to doing it again in the future.
All right. Some incredible stuff that we have heard. Is there a way for our listeners to listen to this podcast? Where can they find it?
All of the links are on SoundCloud. And so the SoundCloud link is the social issues at VAHS. They can look that up.
All right. Sounds good. We'll make sure that we've got that link attached to this show on our website so they can find it at WPR.org/mornings2. And I really want to thank everybody who is involved in this conversation. Laura Yidey Brown, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Morgan Gavinsky, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Lydia Benz, we really appreciate your time.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Lydia Benz and Morgan Gavinsky are students at Verona High School. They produce the podcast Social Issues of VAHS, which received an honorable mention in this year's NPR Student Podcast Challenge. They were up against 2,200 other entries from across the country. So we heard from them about that work, and we also spoke with their English teacher, Laura Yidey Brown. We've got On Point coming up next. There's a portrait of police reform, how Camden, New Jersey rebuilt its police department. That is ahead. And also, you can hear from some high school grads on entering adulthood amid nationwide protests and a pandemic. That's up next on Point here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show.